This is a Pinball News production.
All right. Appreciate everybody coming out tonight. Granted, it's kind of tough when you have all those pins out there to play. But I appreciate you joining me here tonight. My name is Brett Davis, as Rob said. I'm the designer of all the PinScore products. We've had a great year. PinScores have been doing quite well in the marketplace, but you know, I've been working on some new products. So I'd like to share with you some of the experiences that I had. I titled this Pinball Power Electronics, an Exercise in Forensic Engineering, because as I've gone through some of the research to develop some new products, you know, came across a few interesting things to make sure that we're, you know, they were all in place. So I'm going to start off. Go ahead. First one is I have a little bit of history and of trivia, and whoever gets the answer correct, I got a Tilt DVD for them. So in early 1977, Stern released their first commercial SS pin, pinball. And who can tell me what the current rating of the 5-volt regulator is in there? Wrong. Dave, wrong. Nope, not half amp, not 1 amp. No, the 5-volt regulator, 2 amp. It was a 2-amp, it was an LM217 or the equivalent at that time. So, it was a, probably a wild guess. But yes, if you go into the original pinball schematics that, for that game, you'll see that they did call out an LM217 or its equivalent at that time. So it was only 2 amps. So it's kind of surprising when I actually started doing that. Next one, Holly. So when we're talking about power supplies back in the late 70s, the technology that they had, we're talking that most of the components there, they were looking at 5-volt, you know, TTL and 12-volt DC for their source voltages. And as time, you know, looking back in history, the component variety that you had to select for the development of your power supplies, it was limited. It is not nearly as rich as it is now. Also, the design circuitry was as, you know, the design styles were very different. I know that there were several companies that were starting to do some investigation into switching power supplies at that time, but switching power supplies didn't really come into their own until the 80s. Also, the surface mount technology was still in its infancy, and it wasn't at that time cost effective for a lot of, you know, commercial equipment. So, I mean, there are some limits there. So we have to think about what was going on in the pinball designers' minds and the electronics side of things to create their products. So why did I start looking back? Well, I have a personal philosophy is that when I started an engineering project to re-engineer some of the boards, I need to understand what was going on in the original, why they did what they did. Second thing was, is while I'm understanding the original, I start thinking of ways to improve upon it and to add things to it to make it better than the original. So we're gonna. So this is just to kind of give you an idea. The first, you know, for a 5-volt DC, which was the lifeblood of the logic circuits back then. Basically, a power supply was the, you know, rectified AC, large capacitors and a linear regulator, which is right here. Here's a full-wave rectifier circuit. You got a big 12,000 microfarad capacitor there, fuse there. You know, we have some other small filtering caps. And this is actually just what they represented with an LM323. I pulled this out of an early Stern manual. And so one of the things I discovered, though, was a common misconception about the 5-volt regulators is that, yes, they were rated for 3 amps. They were a TO3 30-watt package linear regulator. And the misconception was that in the pinball circuits that it provided 3 amps. Next one. And why is this the case? Why was this important? So the key is, what is ambient temperature and how to handle it from the heat sinking perspective? Now, according to the specification for this part, ambient to them was 60 degrees C. And so when you look at that, the heat sink was going, you know, with the 413, which is this line right there. This is your standard heat sink that Williams used for their early Williams System 3 games. That 413 heat sink was going to dissipate 18 watts. You know, and do the little bit of math. But when you start doing the math, when it's dissipating the 18 watts, you're going to have that 7-volt drop from the 12 volts to the 5 volts. And that brings you out to 2.57 amps. That's what it's rated for with that heatsink at their ambient, which is right here. So there's your 18 watts right there on the curve, ambient 60. So Williams used the 413 and Bali Stern used the 623 heatsink. And so with Bali Stern, it was actually only really designed to put out 2 amps. Next one. So I, you know, continued to doing some additional investigation. So what did I find out? Really, the 3-amp regulator wasn't putting out 3 amps. Now, if you keep pushing it, you'll still generate more heat, and that's exactly what you were getting. You were getting a lot of heat in the back box. Now, for me, I did some initial measurements in my own games. I have a $6 million man. And my ambient temperature in my $6 million man, because I leave my games on 24/7, they're my burn-in fixtures for all my products. My ambient temperature inside my $6 million man is sitting right about 46 degrees centigrade. It's really warm in there. And everybody knows that the back boxes do get warm. And what we see here is also, per the data sheets, that the temperature does play a part in the in what the power supply can provide. And common knowledge is that with these linear regulators, you have, you know, we know that they're going to have to change. We're going to have to change out the regulators. I've changed out my fair share of those 5-volt regulators in games. Capacitors, I've rebuilt my power supplies in the games, original power supplies. Capacitors dry out, have to deal with that. And so we know that they will degrade. Now, by show of hands, how many of you have rebuilt your 5-volt section in your power supplies? Okay, over half of you have had to do that. So we all know that it's happening. And there are similar issues that also existed that exist in the high voltage section, though I'm not going to focus on the high voltage section right now. So one of my basic beliefs with PinScore has always been that I want to bring the products and my solutions, you know, into the 21st century, into the technologies there, because I want to keep the games running. Everybody here is here because they like pinball. It's a passion for them. They like playing it. They like collecting. They want to keep their games running. So the goal is that, you know, what do we do to keep them running? And so next to the displays, because I have a product line for displays, I decided to tackle the power supply problems. So when I started my power supply design, I had a few basic criteria. One, my 5-volt current availability would not be affected by the ambient conditions, and it's capable of providing enough to handle the increased 5-volt load, you know, created by a lot of the aftermarket boards. There is one manufacturer out there who manufactures a replacement combination system 3-6 MPU board and a separate driver board. They're based out of Texas. And their 5-volt requirement is much higher than the existing power supply can provide. And matter of fact, he puts a little disclaimer on his website saying that before they put in his boards, they really need to rebuild their 5-volt section on the power supply, because it's going to draw significantly more. So they need to make sure that 5-volt section is fully rebuilt before using it. One of the things I also want to do is I wanted to reduce the heat in the head. So eliminate, you know, figure out a way to eliminate that entire heat sink, so it's not generating all that heat. Another one was that I wanted to be able to take a direct short and survive. I wanted, because I've had on my own, on a Bali game that I had, yeah, I shorted out my 5 volts one time, had to replace it, rebuild it, just couldn't take it. Wanted to provide additional debug. You know, I've had boards that didn't have any test points really on them, You know, I can probe around, find a resistor that I can kind of grab onto. I want to make something a little bit easier. With the increased availability of LED displays, you know, wanted to make sure that the high voltage section was optional just so I can reduce the cost. We found through our own sales that about 60% of the customers who are purchasing our pin scores are doing it because their high voltage has failed and they don't have the skills to rebuild it. At the same time, they're thinking is that, well, if I lost my high voltage, you know, my 5 volts is fine, but what if? So we wanted to make sure I wanted to make the high voltage optional, one, to reduce cost to the end customer, and if you don't need it, why put it in there? And then also to plan ahead for the more usage of the LEDs in circuits like the GI circuit. I mean, if we've seen some of the games that have LEDs in the GIs, you'll notice that there's a flicker there because most of the LEDs will only operate on half of that GI voltage cycle. So it's something to take into consideration. So I'm looking at improvements into the system that I can put in there to make things better for the games themselves. So for my 5-volt solution, I took advantage of some very new technology. This little regulator, there is smaller than your average postage stamp. But that device there can provide, it's a switching regulator system. I have no other external components other than what you see on that little block there. And that device can provide 6 amps. And it is actually 93% efficient. It has built-in short circuit protection, and I tested this. I can take a direct short, and then I can power the board back up, and it comes on just fine. And one nice thing is that this device is so widely used in the telecom and embedded community, the price is really low. So I couldn't really understand why I should have to go out and go through the pain of designing a whole new switching system when a device like this existed, because at the volumes that we're talking for power supplies and whatnot, you know, for pinball, never would approach the telecom volumes, but I was still able to take advantage of low cost. So it did save me a little bit of time on the development, and it's so readily available that it just made sense to go ahead and use this device. Next one. Also, from the 5-volt standpoint, when this thing is running at a 3-amp load, I'm dissipating less than 1.5 watts of heat. I mean, no need to have a big old heat sink with something like that. Makes it really nice. And as I said, the efficiency of this regulator is 93% under full load conditions. So that is an extreme plus there, I feel. Next one. Now, I also accomplished my second goal. One of my other goals was an optional high voltage. If you wanted to, you can come down to come down to the Marco Specialties booth. We have a display set up where we actually have a plug-in high voltage module. So it is optional. You know, marketing standpoint, you know, save you 20% off an order, buy a power supply without high voltage and buy a pin score. Shameless plug for purchasing components. And so, I mean, I modeled this after the original Williams design, but during my investigation of the Williams design and seeing where there was failures and talking to individuals like Clay and some of the others who are doing repairs on boards and telling me what they were doing to fix the high voltage sections, I was modeling the Williams circuits to determine why it was failing. And I was finding some very interesting things out using some of the software tools that are available from Linear Tech and LTSpice and such. And the results were quite surprising, and I could understand why some of the failures were occurring. And so I wanted to fix those designs and make a few additional changes to it. As I said, you only have to buy it if you need it. Don't need it, don't get it. Debug, standard, I have heavy, you know, pads, LED indicators telling us when the voltages are there and when they're not. LED's on, your fuse is good. If the LED's gone or is off, your fuse is gone. Works out that simply. And the next thing, that one of the final things that I put in the system was what we're calling our DCGI system. As the acronym indicates, I was looking at the GI, and GI is at 6.3 volt AC. We already know, as I mentioned before, that doesn't work well with LED bulbs. You have that strobing effect, and it, you know, a lot of pin players probably just really don't care for it. I know I don't. And so I started looking at what I can do to improve upon that. And so I took a look at it, and I decided I wanted to convert this to DC. So I took that 6.3 volts, converted it to DC, and created a simple little pulse width modulation circuit so that I can actually adjust the brightness of the GI. Now, I also have this set up back there, but am I at the Marco booth with this display, but it allows you then to control the brightness of your GI. It works fine. It works well with the incandescent bulbs. They're standard 47s and 555s. It also works great with the LEDs. You don't get the strobing effect because it's modulating at 1 kilohertz. So it's beyond what you can tell with your eyes. And it is very effective. And this right now, our power supply line covers all the Williams games from Williams System 3 to System 11C. And it also, you know, carries into the Data East alphanumeric boards as well. So from this, we have now can draw these conclusions. One, all power supplies will fail. I have not found a single power supply out there, and talking to anybody who has an original power supply that has never had any modifications. If you have one, I'd like to shake your hand. You're one of the few. Innovation is still possible to make these games have a continued life. I mean, taking advantage of existing current technologies allows us to look for advancements and improvements to continue keeping the games alive. And as the designer of all the PinScore products, you know, I'm committed to doing that. I have a passion for this. I developed this passion, and everybody sitting in this room has a passion to a certain extent for pinball. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here supporting the hobby. They wouldn't be here enjoying and staying here to ungodly hours playing pinball. So right now, I'd like to entertain any questions, and then I'll follow up with letting you know what we got going on in the future with PinScore and some additional new products that we have hoped for to be released within the next 6 months. Any questions about the power supplies? Right now, our warranty is, we haven't really had to deal with many warranty issues. It's 100% replacement, no questions asked. We have put, from the LED display standpoint, we have put over 4,000 assemblies since we brought them out 3 years ago, and we've had less than a 1% failure return from the field. Most of the failures that we've seen have been some pretty basic things. Someone dropped a board, they knocked a capacitor off. It happens. Someone, plugged in the cable wrong. It happens. But as far as, actual major problems or anything like that, we haven't seen any. We're sitting pretty good with all our quality issues. I mean, everything, we build everything here in the States. We test it here in the States. I mean, I go through 100% testing on all the products. So that's a good rate to say that we've had less than 1% failure returns. Over 4,000 units. Questions? Any more questions? Well, as a sneak peek here for the next, I'll tell you, let you guys know right now, over the course of the next 6 months, we plan on releasing a new dot matrix controller board, which is being developed in conjunction with Dr. Ed Chung. We're adding some great new features and capabilities with this. Also, we are planning on releasing a WPC power driver board with some additional new features with some great technology that I found and been working on with the development. We're also hopefully releasing within the next 2 months a LED-based dot matrix, which is a true plug-and-play. There is a, one of our competitors has an LED-based dot matrix, but it is, requires you to go in and splice wires into your power lines. And ours is going to be just complete drop-in, plug-and-play, no changes like that. So we're hoping to have that out within 3 months. Offering in both orange and green right now, because there are some games that will look pretty cool with green dot matrix displays, like Creech. Yes?
What system is the dot matrix driver?
It would be WPC. I mean, WPC right now. We have had a few people request maybe looking at some help in the Gottlieb dot matrix controllers, but I haven't looked into that much right now. It's mostly been the WPC era that I've been putting some focus into. Any other questions?
That's one thing I think of the spend. You said you were talking about it'll have some pretty cool new features, but you never really got it
for which ones?
The direct.
Okay. One of the dot matrix features that we are working on providing is the ability to have the owner through a RS-232 port upload its own their own 128 by 32 image that will come up during a free play. And I'm not just talking, just a text. I'm talking actually if you wanted to find a picture of your girlfriend and wanted to put it up there, if you think she's pretty enough to put in for a 128 by 32. Sure. Granted, it's low resolution, but, there's that. So that's one aspect area that we're doing. We're focusing also on, because we have, developing an LED dot matrix display, making the high voltage also optional. Because the high voltage sections on those dot matrix controllers got very hot, and a lot of them did destroy, burn up and destroy themselves. And this way, you can go ahead and not have that high voltage again. Now, on the dot matrix display itself, we actually have a few test buttons that are operational independent of the dot matrix controller. So you'll be able to determine if your dot matrix display is functional without having a controller present. So that's another feature that we're going to be adding. That is also the same situation. We have a few. Yeah, it's just any image that you want to upload. Yeah, it doesn't have to be on free play, but if you wanted to have, just splash up there, that's fine too. We're working on that. Yes?
How many shades of orange or green or whatever will it support?
It's still the standard four levels. We have to operate within the same parameters as the original board set will allow.
Does that mean it doesn't work with the Stern sound system?
It will work with the Stern sound system, but that's the dot matrix display itself. The dot matrix controller, though, will only allow for four shades because the controller was control mechanism is different. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.